Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
Ashley Schiavone. She don't take no baloney.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hannah. God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. You can find me on the Riz Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast. And as usual, I'm with the talented, wonderful, beautiful Mr. Ben Mandelker. You can find him over on his cartoon called The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island over on YouTube. Hi, Ben.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, baby?
I'm just ready to close out this lovely week with our very first ever recap of Mexican Dynasties.
Mexican Dynasties!
Ah, Mexican Dynasties.
Before we get into that, a couple of things to show. We will be in D.C. That show is sold out, so we'll see you guys there next week. We're going to be doing the season premiere of Real Housewives of New York City. Then we head to South by Southwest in Austin. Badge holders get in first, and people who have RSVP'd but don't hold badges get in next. So come to that. That's basically first come, first serve if you've RSVP'd. So we'll see you there. And then we're doing two shows in Cincinnati. We're doing a 5 o'clock show that has some tickets left, and then we're doing a later show which is sold out. So if you want to come to the Cincinnati show, the first show is going to be amazing. Get your tickets for that. You can also find your Luann leggings and shirts, Luann pop art stuff. You can find links to our shows and our merch over at watchwhatcrappens.com. How do you like that?
For that was beautiful.
Pluggy plug.
It was wonderful. You did a great job.
Yes, thank you. So now on to Mexican Dynasties. Now, everybody, you know, we love doing terrible accents and voices on this show. But as time goes on, people get offended by certain things. This is not the show for you if you're going to be getting offended. Because we're doing a show called Mexican Dynasties that takes place in Mexico. So bad accents will abound.
Yeah, okay? We're doing it. We're trying to sound like these people. We're actually trying to mimic their specific voices. We're not trying to perpetuate stereotypes. Mm-hmm. But if we accidentally do that, we apologize in advance. We're just trying to actually sound like these people.
Yes. So
we're white. We know. We get it.
Yeah, we understand that we're two white boys doing terrible accents. So if that's not your thing, bye. Go away. Yeah. Okay, so now here we go with...
Yes.
Mexican Dynasties. Take it away.
So the show opens up with it's like a mini trailer. It's like a little like moment, like where they're just sort of like talking. Basically, all the cast members are like, we know what Americans think about Mexicans. They all think that we make the best housekeepers and gardeners and busboys, and that we're all running around in ponchos and sombreros. And basically, they're like, you know what? Americans don't know shit about Mexico.
Which is true. Now, that said, you will see a lot of Mexicans who are very good maids on this show because they work for the other Mexicans. You see?
Yeah.
It's like a circle. Which I think is,
yeah. I actually think it's really good that this show is on TV because I do feel like all that we see of Mexicans on TV or in movies is like we just see like, you know, people who are like struggling and, you know, in pure poverty, et cetera. And obviously that's there as well. But like, I think it's also refreshing to, you know, see a different side of Mexico, because like it's like so easy to do, like push like a poverty narrative. It's a convenient narrative. So I actually really am glad that this show is here just for that basic reason alone. I mean, not that Bravo is ever very good at like providing nuance to various demographics and populations, but you know.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a pretty heavy-handed one, and I'm yeah. fine with it.
Yeah,
I'm fine with Bravo's heavy cultural ignorance hand. Okay, culturally
yeah,
ignorant
instance,
hand, I guess.
Right
I
out of the bat, we learn they're like Mexicans. We're not like this. We drive Teslas. I was like, oh, okay, all right.
We have food in Mexico. Culture, we have Teslas.
I was like, okay, that's
this is also a typical Bravo show where when it's about anybody, any other culture at all, it's very Shaw's of Sunset in the way it's like, it's a very different culture. So they're going to do a lot of the same shits and claim it's from their culture, but it's everybody's culture. Like, in Mexico, we love food. Also water. Also, we take showers in Mexico. It's like, yeah,
family,
we do that everywhere,
everything
guys.
In Mexico City. Okay.
There's nothing more than family in Mexico. Like, guess what? Got families in America, too, okay? All
and
our families.
The world.
Yeah.
So, speaking of families, we now meet the three central families on the show. We start off with La Familia Allende. Right? Allende, is that how
Allende,
you say it?
Allende, the entertainment dynasty.
As evidenced by, we meet the mother and the father, Marie and Fernando.
She Marie goes, and Fernando.
When I party with no limits. Actually, doesn't even have a strong accent. She's more like, she sounds more like.
She sounds like this. She talks like.
Yeah,
she
sounds
a
like
very
this.
Throaty voice.
Very slight accent. When I party with no limits.
Yeah. I mean, she's got a very throaty voice. You know, Marie has cigarro. Okay, Marie loves her cigarro.
Yeah. And then Fernando's like, and when I party with her.
And she goes, wow! They're like the wacky couple. So then we go to La Familia Besundo, the soda dynasty. Right. And this is the mother and daughter team, Doris and Raquel. And Raquel is kind of like the Mexican Mama D.
Yes, and- she is. She's such a Raquel. Like, I'm glad that, like, Bravo said, you know what? We're not going to let Raquel on Vanderpump Rules be our dominant Raquel. Let's get in a real Raquel, okay?
Yeah. And they give each other, they do that wacky mom-daughter thing. Oh, I think the daughter, Doris. And by the way, we did a preview of this on our Patreon, so we were trying to guess who all these people were to each other. And yes. Ben guessed it right when he said mother and daughter. And I was like, I think they're sisters.
I thought it was the other way around. I couldn't remember. So it is the daughter.
Yeah,
I mean, I knew obviously daughter. I don't remember which one of us what was the one that we guessed, but yeah, mother and daughter.
Yeah, so I just had to point that out to say, Ben, you are right. There, now enjoy
then,
it because it won't.
And
happen
then they
again.
Have, and then they had a wacky moment where like, it's not easy being a me. They both said me at the same time.
Yeah. It's like, And then they give each other wacky looks.
Right. And so it's like just silliness so far makes sense.
Yeah. And then we go to La Familia Marrazo. The luxury car dynasty. And this is the most troubling relationship on the show, I think.
Because now it's like we see a doubles figure skater pair. Like, and they're like, we're brother and sister. And the sister's like, he's definitely mine. I'm not sharing. Not now, not ever. So stay away. He's mine. I'm like, wait. You said brother and sister, right?
Yeah, and then she laughs too hard. She's like, oh! I was like, okay, these two are way too much. And the brother, you want to talk about problematic people. The shit that comes out of the brother's mouth, I'm like,
Yeah. And what's funny is that the two of them are like on a permanent morning show. I mean, which is funny because we find out later that they actually host a show together. But they're basically like what the stereotype is of what a crazy morning show is. Like, oh, hi, I had a great weekend. It was good. Oh, my God, you're hilarious. You're hilarious. But they're brother and sister, and they're in love with each other.
Yeah, they're like, we are fashion icons. Everyone loves to see us dress wacky. I'm like, oh, my God. It's those two. You know, those two are pretty well explained, I feel like. I feel like I understand them the best right off the bat.
Now, someone on this show or one of these familias is cousins with Mauricio, right?
Yes, but I don't know which one. I think Doris, but I'm not sure. Hold on.
I feel like Doris is the most likely, but I want to. You know what? I will do a Google search.
Dynasty's are you doing it? Cousin Mauricio.
Let's see. I feel like Doris. I feel like I see. I could see that. Like oh my I could God, see. Is it?
There's so many choices. I love that no one can just tell you anything on the internet. Why don't you just tell me who it is instead of how are cast members from Mexican dynasties linked to Kyle Richards from Real House? Just tell me.
Just tell us.
All right. Goodbye. Blah, blah, blah. Connected to each other through a string of personal, professional, blah, blah, blah. The show's blah, blah, blah. There's usually a connection. Bravo's. This is from Cheat Sheet, by the way, to give them credit as I read them.
I already hate that website.
Sorry. Bravo has an uncanny way of linking reality programming. Okay, Vanderpump Rules, and then Vanderpump Rules more.
Oh, they're really I hate not this article
tell
already.
Just tell me.
I hate this article.
Oh, my God. They've also known Denise Rich. Oh, my God. Seriously. Although the connection is not new to the show, Kyle Richards' husband, Mauricio Maskey, is cousins with the cast member.
Doris. Doris's cousin is a
Thank you, Doris. Jesus, I had it right in the beginning.
I
had to go through that stupid article.
I'm going to vow to never go to Cheat Sheet again because of how poorly written that article was and how clickbaity it was, unless they decide to write an article about us, in which case we love Cheat Sheet.
Yeah. Okay, it's up to you, Cheat Sheet. Okay,
yeah.
It's up to you.
Yeah. So now the show begins in earnest after we see the opening credits. And we start out at Fernando and Mari's – is it Mari? Mari?
Mari.
Mari?
Yeah, Mari Kondo. Like Marty.
Did you say that before? Did I hear you say Mari Kondo? It would be hilarious if it was Mari Kondo.
No,
like,
it's just
Fernando
where
and Mari Kondo
penthouse.
Living in a penthouse together. She's just giggling around. It's like earthquake drill. She's like...
So their maid comes into their room while they're sleeping and opens their electronic curtains, which is so fancy. Yeah. Oh my God. I want electronic curtains.
I know. So Fernando and Marty are like, quote unquote, asleep, but it's like National Earthquake Drill Day. So they like wake up and Marty has like this giant necklace on and her whole thing is she's like, if there's an earthquake, I need to have my jewels. You know, I need to have my jewels for the earthquake because, you know, if we have an emergency where there's no money, you know, I need to be able to pay people in jewelry.
Yeah, pretty much. And they're waking up at 12:54. to get downstairs by 1:16.
Yeah.
I just love that she talks like this. Her voice cracks me up, this lady, which makes a lot more sense as we go along. So it's they're doing their testimonials together, and he's like, "I am Fernando," and she's like, "And I am Mari."
So we are the Allendes. So I think the real breakout star from the Allendes is actually their son, Adan. I think it's Adan. Who is basically like this, I don't even want to say a man boy. He's more like boy. He's more like teen boy. I don't know. He's 27, but he reads as 13.
Yes. And, you know, as rich people do, but young. He's in front of the fridge eating, but instead of drinking the milk out of the carton, he's eating prosciutto out of the yeah, Ziploc or whatever.
Right out of the packet right there. Yeah. So we find out that there are two sons, Elan and Adan, which is really annoying because I need like not so similar names. It's really difficult for me because they're like the same length and they're the same shape when you look at them.
Yeah, just they just one's a little older shape. And has like facial hair because he's a rebel.
Yeah. So Elan, he looks basically like Mexico's answer to Jacques, Luann's ex.
Oh, yeah, kind of. Elan?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind
of. He's Mexican Jacques. That's what I've decided.
But way hotter. No offense, Jacques. So he's like, we have two beautiful kids, Elan and Adan. Elan is the eldest, and Adan lives with us. And then they show on the screen a typical morning, and it's Adan between them in bed cuddling.
Yeah, and the chihuahua, there's like a horrified, skittish chihuahua on the side just watching like, A, that should be me. B, what the hell is going on? C, when can I run away to a different penthouse?
And D, why did you name me Nacho? Because Ronnie will eat me. Like, I'm small enough. Mari says, we are very close. We call ourselves the Tripod. I was like, that is so disturbing. That means something different in America.
I know. Aren't there other words for trio? Like, Like, can't we be tripod? I don't know. We like to stand together and put the camera on our heads.
So they have to prepare for this drill. So Marty's like, don't forget your guitar. And he's like, okay. So she's making sure that she has vitamins, drops, and Astrogel.
Yeah.
And they have to run down there while we hear. They have to go down 20 flights of stairs to get to this thing. And she's wearing like huge fur heels.
Yeah. And they're like, are you going to wear those heels on this thing? And she's like, what's the big deal? I've worn heels all my life. And then they just cut to Chio, who is the housekeeper. And she's like, yeah, she wouldn't make it in an earthquake in heels. She wouldn't make it. And she just starts to laugh. She's like, esta loca. Like, no, yeah. No.
The housekeepers are already my favorite characters on this. They're so funny.
Absolutely.
Just the way they look at them. Like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So they tell us a little bit about themselves. And Mari and Fernando are... Fernando used to be a telenovela star and a singer. Yeah. And so now they are managing their son, Adan. And wow, I think this is going to be the most dramatic storyline in the whole show.
Yeah, I think this is where the fun is going to be. We should just say in general, like the first episode was sort of like, let's meet all the characters. Like not much really got in motion. They planted the seeds that there were, you know, issues between these two sons, but there's, and you know, maybe some mother-daughter-ish friction with in the Soda family. But in general, it was just more like, this is who we have. So it's hard to know where the real drama is going to come. It's hard to know if there's going to actually be real drama. It looks sort of like a lighthearted, fun show, which is nice. But I'm, you know, I'm hoping for some, like, I'm hoping that the fame gets to them and they become crazy animals.
They will, you know. No matter where you are or where you're from, fame gets you in the end.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to have like a pleasant first season, like a nice, it's like Southern Charm. They're just generally nice the first season. And then season two, the claws of fame will start to set in and they're just going to like rip each other apart.
Yeah. But we do finally learn why Madi's voice is like that, because she's been managing her husband for 20 years. And that is such a manager voice. Like, you got an audition, Maddie.
Yeah.
It's like 30 packs of cigarettes a day.
She's basically the Sharon Osbourne of Mexico City.
Yeah. So they have to go down all these stairs, and the alarm starts wailing. And the dad's wearing, like, king pajamas. He's got, like, a gold-rimmed collar. So yeah. They go out there, and by the time they get down there, they've missed it. But the dad just keeps waving at everybody. Fernando just keeps waving at everybody down there. He's like, buenas! Buenas! Because yeah. He's like a star in his mind wherever he goes.
They also, like, they act like, I mean, it seems like they've never been evacuated before. Like, it's supposed to be an annual earthquake drill. Like, have they never done this before? Mari's like, I never realized how difficult, how dangerous it is to live in a penthouse, which is just, like, glorious privilege. That's just a great phrase. I never realized how dangerous it is to live in a penthouse.
Yeah, glorious. Fabulosity could kill us in the end.
Yeah. So now we go over to Raquel's condo, where there's like various pop art depictions of Raquel. Raquel is like already my most favorite person on this entire show, by the way. She's gorgeous. She has immaculate style. And the only thing that's missing is like the sheer terror that someone like a Mama D can really exude. I'm surprised.
You're not terrified of Raquel?
I'm terrified, but I'm surprised that she seemed as soft as she was. Like, I thought she would be, like, really, like, bitch on wheels, but she's not there.
She will be. Don't you worry.
She will be. Listen, you don't get to be, like, the most famous fashion critic in Mexico without being a monster.
Yeah. She looks terrifying to me. But, of course, it's another mother who's always like, you're fat, you know?
Yeah.
So I have that, like, fear instilled in me. And I love that she's kind of the grown-up Cece from Beaches, you know, with just paintings of herself all over the place. And it cracks me up every time I see La familia Besudo, the Soda family. The Soda Dynasty.
I was like laughing at that too. It's sort of funny, a Soda Dynasty. It's like such a specific sort of dynasty. Speaking of Bette Midler, it reminds me of Down Out of Beverly Hills, how like the Bette Midler's family and that, they got their fortune by selling hangers. Like he has a hanger factory. It's like one of those, like, you know, because like behind all these things, there are like CEOs and like hangers, okay? Soda. But in this case, but then we find out that basically Doris's grandfather started Jarritos, which is like a huge soda. I was like, damn, no, that's not just a soda empire. That's like, that's huge.
Yeah, it's like the Coca-Cola
queen. I'm like really like starstruck by Jarritos. I know.
So Doris is coming home. It's one of those, I'm coming home from Beverly Hills, Mom, to take care of you, because her dad just died. Raquel's husband just died. Yeah. And true to form, she's got like a little dog she carries around. And Doris, to me, looks very much like Celine Dion, which cracks me up the whole time. Because Celine Dion has feelings. Oh, I feel things.
For some reason, she was really hitting some Perry Gilpin notes for me. And I don't know why. She doesn't even look like Perry Gilpin. But like maybe it was the hair. It's sort of like Roz hair. You know, I don't know why. I just was like, I just kept on thinking Roz.
She's eternally taking Fraser shit. Like forever.
Frasier is usually my go-to comparison. Like I'll start with Frasier and then I'll just like start to expand outward. Maybe to Soap Dish, Big Business.
Yeah. Yeah, expand outward. Once I saw Celine Dion, that's all I can see.
My method, my art.
Now I'm thinking of Celine Dion and Frasier.
Oh, Frasier, that
you're so snotty, but still hilarious. And my boss at the end of the day. So let us have lunch.
Frasier, shall we meet at the coffee house to discuss issues of the day?
So she tells us about her parents. They were Mexican royalty together. And she's trying to move into this room, but Raquel has to move all of this crap out of there because she's taken up the whole thing. And now they'll fight over closet space. But
I'm sorry, I'm still thinking about Celine Dion at the coffee shop. Just imagining how Celine Dion would she's the sort of person that would keep adding little snacks to her coffee order. She'd be like, I'll have a grande frappuccino, please. And add this banana. And this juice box on a sandwich. Two of those.
She does wacky jokes for Fraser. Like she'll order the coffee's name under Jaca so they can keep going Jaca, and he'll go Fraser, Jaca, Fraser. Oh, I kill me every time.
I think this is 100% accurate. I'm sorry, you were actually trying to recap the show while I was going into my Celine Dion in the coffee shop fantasy.
Oh, so Doris tells us about her mom and how she's the most famous fashion critic in all of Latin America. And she's now doing a show called Cuidita de la Cámara, which is funny.
I felt so bad for Doris because she's like, she's basically the Joan Rivers of Mexico City. And I was like, I am so sad for you because that means you're the Melissa Rivers of Mexico City.
Yeah, I thought that's what she was going to say. And I'm the Melissa. But she says, and I am her daughter. Like, I guess like... I guess she's trying to be her momager, but she's her dotager.
She's Melissa Rivers, basically. I was like, that's so sad that you put yourself in that box right now.
Yeah. So then even like you have Dowdy in your own job title that you made up for yourself. Like, I don't like it.
I know.
So then we see the first hints of our eating thing, because the mom's like, oh, let us have some breakfast. My beautiful daughter who's back home now to take care of her mother. You know, the mom's just like getting used to the cameras. And Doris is like, you're going to let me eat this much? And then we cut to a scene of Raquel going, you've gained weight. And
this is my kind of podcast.
It's a genius idea, isn't it?
And it rhymes.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
I think it's for women everywhere. This is White Wine Question Time with me, Kate Thornton. Each week, I'll be bringing together three well-known friends with three bottles of wine and three thought-provoking questions. That's White Wine Question Time. Subscribe now.
Tells her it's Trump weight. When he tweets, I eat.
Yeah. And then it cuts to Doris eating Doritos in the confessional, and Raquel just has this like big perma smile on where she's like, I'm going to be professional right now, but I cannot believe you're eating something so fattening in my face right now.
No puede ser Doritas.
Yeah. So now we go over to Paulina's house. Paulina is the sister of the brother-sister thing. And Paulina's like, come on, come on. We have to go to Oscar's house. They're coming back. Come on, come on. And we meet Paulina's housekeeper, Yoka, who is the one from all the ads. There's like a lot of housekeepers, by the way. There's like a lot of people on this show. There's a lot. This is like really taxing my brain.
Yeah, there's a lot of newness here.
Yeah, yes. A lot of us to take in. So they all, so Paulina and her kids, they all go down to Oscar's house, which is like hilariously like a block away. We get one that classic Bravo thing was like, come on, let's get in the car. And the car goes like a block, you know? So they sneak into like Oscar's house and they're like, okay, everyone hide. And Oscar comes in with his kids and their mom. Their mom is hilarious. Walks in and they're like, surprise. He's like,
Yeah, he's a character. First of all, they like do those indoor firework things of confetti, like he just won American Idol, and I'm like, poor Haka. Oh my god, she's like, she done enough? You know, she's kept this house clean for 3 weeks while he was away, and now she's got to do this. So he comes in like a red. Is it a Louis Vuitton jumpsuit? What is he wearing?
I don't know. I was already. There's a lot for me to take in, and his outfit was it was red, it was something red.
And no gay trendy man is complete in their 40s without a Supreme bag.
Okay. Oh God, that's such a good call. It makes me so mad that you said that. So yeah, and we learned that. So Paulina and Oscar, they're the luxury car dynasty because their dad brought luxury cars to Mexico for the first time. And we, you know, these siblings, they love each other and they're like, we're like twins. And we see this, like, they cut to this flashback of like Paulina and Oscar are like having a pillow fight with all the kids, are all like pillow fighting. And then the camera zooms in and like the mom, Olivia, I think her name is, or not Olivia, but the mom is just like bashing Oliver with the pillow. She's like, yes, yes. Smack that gay out of him. Smack it.
So they're like, we are very much alike, but we raise our kids very differently, very different parenting methods. And it's because she likes pizza and he likes his kids to be healthy.
Yeah.
She's like, half of Mexican food is fried. Okay. They can't eat half the food in Mexico. And he goes, that's good. That's good. He goes, I tell you, I tell them, don't eat that. It has too much what is it? I thought it was transgender.
Trans fats.
Oh, he's going to be trouble, this one.
Yeah. So Paulina and Oliver have a TV show called Que Madrazo. By the way, I took French in high school, so my Spanish accent, despite having lived here in Los Angeles, is a little wonky. But it's Que Madrazo, right?
Yeah.
Which means, what a punch! And yeah, it's like what you said before. They get into different outfits and they're like silly on screen together. I don't understand it.
Yeah, they wear crazy outfits and then they get in front of the camera and they do this. Whoa! Whoa! It's very Mexican TV. I watched a lot of Mexican TV growing up, and it's very, very there. Mexican TV.
Yeah. So so Oliver and his kids just came back from Marrakesh, and we learned that Paulina is divorced and a single mom, and Oliver is the first openly gay father of surrogate children in Mexico, which made it to the cover of a big magazine down there.
Arthritis so magazine. Watch out, Danielle, stop.
No, it's called Quien. Well, what I like to – so the magazine's called Quien, which means who, which I think was hilarious because it's like, who? Who's this? They're like, look at this guy. He has kids. And people are like, who?
Who?
Wow, she's like a huge star down there. I'm being so ignorant.
That is pretty funny, though. Who?
I just think it's funny that anyone, like, a magazine. Who? Anyone. Just anyone being on a magazine called who? Who? Wait, who's that? It's like a magazine edited by my parents. Who's that?
Who?
Is that DiCaprio? That would be the other name for it. Is that DiCaprio? Is that Affleck?
So they're talking about how he had a surrogate, and he's like, and when I decided to have kids, I forced her to have kids too. Well, I didn't force her, but I said, go stand on your hands and make the sperm get in there. Oh my God. The mom is Gabriella, by the way.
Yeah. And I just saw that right on Gabriella.
She loves big sun hats inside.
Yeah. So they all are sitting down at a table, and Pauline is like, well, while you were on vacation, I didn't want to spoil anything, but at which point I got my Bravo glitch, the DirecTV Bravo glitch, and I basically I lost a minute. So
he's
what
like,
happened?
What happened? She's like, oh, I just hear Kimbo, Kimbo, Kimbo. And I said, Hoka, Hoka, Hoka. She's like, Kimbo, Kimbo. And he goes, the parrot died? He goes, I was thinking it was something worse than that. It's like, we are going to do a burial at my house for Kimbo. And very MJ style, she's put Kimbo the parrot in the freezer.
Right.
And Hoka's like, we were like, how are you going to freeze that thing? There's food and all that.
Yeah, because when I came back, I just came back to Hoka saying, this family is not normal.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Esta familia no es normal.
So for me, the way I saw it, it was, I have some bad news, cut to Hoka saying, this family is not normal. I was like, that seems to track.
Yeah. I know, this show, you could cut any way and put it in any order, and it would always be funny.
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
And then we see Nacho, the tiny dog.
Fernando and Mari, and they're like kissing Nacho. They like have little tiny little Nacho. I mean, his eyeballs are bigger than his face. And they're both like kissing Nacho from both sides. And Nacho's like, oh my God, please let me out of here. I can't.
And then Elan and Jenny are on the way over to the parents' house because they're coming to stay. And Jenny's like, oh my God, I hope your mom doesn't harp on my English. I just don't know how to produce some words. He's like, pronounce. So they come over and we find out about the brothers' issues with each other.
Yeah, this is pretty good. I like this because Jenny is like a divisive force in the family, because basically Elan and Adan were in a band called Allende, which is their family name. I don't know. I'm like, Allende. I don't know. I just get excited to say their name.
Allende! So
they were in this band, and then Elan met Jenny while she was in a Miss World pageant, and he fell in love with her, and the family thought that it was just like a phase, but then it wasn't a phase, and basically, she's the Yoko Ono of the family.
Yeah, that's what Adan calls her. He's like, we all know what happened with the Beatles. Yoko.
I'm not sure that he really does know what happened with the Beatles. I think he thinks Yoko is like some version of YOLO. He's like, Yoko, you only know once, Yoko. It's like, no, Yoko's the reason why.
So Elan tells us that they were in this band, like you said, and then we see a clip of the band, and it's in like a high school auditorium, and you just hear the parents clapping. So I'm not really sure how well that was going.
It's like blong blong blong. Yeah, I was wondering what was going on with that band.
Yeah, and his parents told him he had to choose between love and the band, and he's like, and we see what happened, obviously, because he stayed with Jenny, and they started their own band together, their own duo, and now they have a record deal.
Yeah,
so there's the drama with them, but they're all being really nice to each other right now. But then, not to be upstaged, Adan is like, well, I have news. I auditioned for La Voz Mexico and I got in. I'm not in it to win it, I'm just in it for fun, but I know I will be a superstar. And they just start laughing in his face.
Yeah, Elan and Jenny just are like laughing at him, like, you know, like, not even like, like, no one becomes famous off The Voice.
Yeah.
So rude.
And Forchi. So Jenny's like, he lives with his mommy and his daddy, and he likes it. Like, he likes it.
Yeah, because Fernanda basically, so basically the issue here is an issue about bedding. So, or like mattresses, because basically Fernando and Mari are like, listen, we have something very serious to talk to you about. We want you and Jenny to use our bed, and we'll use the inflatable. We will do it. We will use the inflatable. They're like, but you have sex in your bed. Yes, yeah. And we will have sex on the inflatable. We will have sex on anything, really, to be honest.
And she's like, in this family, there are no boundaries. They invited themselves to my honeymoon. And then we see a honeymoon picture of the parents with them.
You know what they remind me of, the parents, like Fernando and Mari? I just rewatched Waiting for Guffman, and they are so Catherine O'Hara and Fred Willard in that movie. You know, that's like,
she even has Catherine O'Hara eyes.
Yeah, like that plucky energy of like these, like the two travel agents who have never been outside of Blaine, Missouri. You know, like that's that, not obviously they've been outside of Mexico City, but just like that can do attitude, that like really like overly enthusiastic, but like oddly Catherine O'Hara-ish vibe, you know?
They're like super excited about every little thing. And Alon's like, why can't they just sleep? Why can't Adon sleep on the inflatable mattress? And the dad's like, oh, no. And Marty goes, he just found out about La Voz.
He just found out.
And Fernando's in other circumstances, Adon would be perfectly happy sleeping on the inflatable. But now, he has La Voz.
La Voz. No. But I'm you guys are rich. Why don't you guys have a guest room? Why is there only one bed here? Why?
I'm guessing they did that thing where your parents get older and they're like, why don't we move to a condo? And now they're like, God damn it. Now we have to walk down all these stairs for the fire drill and there's nowhere to sleep, you know?
These parents, they're all plucky and they're all nice and happy, but they are passive aggressive because they moved into that penthouse and they were not like, oh, we should have a room for when Elon comes to visit. They're like, fuck Elon. He gets the inflatable, which is, I love that they can't. I've never said the word inflatable so much as talking about this show. The inflatable.
But they also kicked Alon out of the family band for having a girlfriend. So, that's where they're at. So they're not as sweet and nice as they pretend.
No, they're definitely not. They're evil people, obviously.
Yeah. And Fernando tells us, oh, he doesn't want to sleep on the inflatable? So top Charlie's. And Marty's like, so what? You stay in hotels? Other people, the whole universe has sex in hotels.
He's like, but she's right. Yeah.
And Adon's like, I'm not sleeping in my parents' bed, okay? I don't sleep in there. I just go in there in the morning for cuddles.
Yeah. Except the thing is this with Adon's voice is that he's been so infantilized that even his voice is young voice. Because he doesn't even talk like this. He's like, I'm not going to sleep in my parents' bed. I only go there for cuddles.
Yeah,
everything is high lilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then in the kitchen, Adon goes in there and he's all angry, storming around the kitchen. And the security guy, I didn't catch his name, did you?
Jesus.
Jesus and Gio are in there, the housekeeper. And they're like, how are things? And he's like, oh my God, can you believe it? He's going off in Spanish. He's like, oh, and I have La Voz. And I can't believe they're not going to take the air mattress. I have La Voz. And Jesus goes, would you like some leche? And he's like, yes, thank you. And then he tells us, he goes, he spends the entire day drinking milk, more or less 5 glasses of milk a day. When he drinks the milk, his anger goes away.
It's an odd wrinkle. I'm actually really super into this sibling rivalry going on because it's fascinating on its own, this idea of these two brothers, and one is more talented than the other, but the other one gets babied and the other one has rebelled, etc., etc. But I also love that milk plays a role in it. The way to calm down the child is to just ply him with milk, tons and tons of milk. And then finally he's now that he's had milk in him, he's you know what? I've decided I'm going to take the inflatable. I'm going to be the bigger person. I'll have the inflatable.
And Fernando's you did the right thing.
So they kiss him on the forehead he made a huge sacrifice by going sleeping on a actually perfectly comfortable inflatable. Honestly, air mattresses, they're not as nice as maybe a Casper mattress. Use the code CRAPINS. But, they're comfortable, especially if you're... Yeah, you can still sing. If you can't sing after a night on an air mattress, then you weren't worthy of being on The Voice in the first place.
Yeah, it's like the end of The Karate Kid. But if Ralph Macchio just decided he would sleep on an air mattress, they're oh my God, he's grown so much. So Doris and Raquel are walking through a park at this water fountain thing and, talking about how good it is to be back around each other and how sad it is that the dad's dead, obviously. And there's going to be a big going away party for Doris. And Raquel's
welcome home party for Doris. What did I say?
Going away party?
You said going away party. Oh. Raquel's we're going to have a going away party for all your fat that you gained in America. I hope that's okay because we're going to work that off right now. Thank you.
It'll be a very long party full of step stairs and water drinking. But a party is a party.
If fat were people, then there will be a lot of people at this party, Doris.
So Doris is doing everything she can to piss off her mom as they walk around the park. She's like, I must have chicharrones. This is Mexico. Will you have some, mother? And her mom's so mad that she's eating fried pig skin.
I know. Raquel is so mad that she voluntarily has carbs in the shape of mango. And then Raquel goes, I love perfection, and that's a clash that we have sometimes. My lazy, unmotivated daughter who does not pursue perfection. That's who it is.
If perfection was a cake, my daughter would eat it in one sitting. So then Doris talks, everyone starts talking about how perfect Raquel is. Like, they keep cutting to people talking about how perfect she is. And everyone's like, she is beautiful. She is life. She is stunning. And then Mari and Fernando are there. And Mari's like, Raquel is too good to be true. And Fernando goes, I don't think so. So now we start getting a sniff of the riff.
I know. I also think one thing that is funny is that, like, the fact that Raquel named her daughter Doris is hilarious to me, because obviously Doris is a perfectly lovely name. But, like, when you have a mother who is, like, a fashion icon, or at least a very famous fashion personality in a country, and her name is Raquel and she's glamorous, and then she just has a daughter named Doris who's always fat, you know, or she's always saying, you're fat, your name is Doris and you're fat. I mean, like... You know, she wanted a boy, basically. I think she wanted a boy and was like, okay, I don't have a boy. I'm going to name you Doris. And I'm going to make fun
probably
of your
in
weight.
The mom's mind, it was back in the day when she's like, I look like Doris Day, so I shall name my child this. But then Doris is like the perfect secretary name, too.
Yeah.
So it's like, she's like,
and
well,
I apologize
that works as well.
To all the Doris fans that we have. I'm not trying to shame Doris. I'm just saying, I can imagine Raquel thinking Doris is.
Doris keeps going because her mom's not mad enough, and she knows her mom can really bring it on camera. So she's like, can I get a taco now? And her mom's like, taco. Like, you see her just getting mad.
She's just so frustrated with the choices in her life.
So let's see.
Then we have like a little scene of like, it's morning in the penthouse, and we see like Ilan and Jenny are sleeping comfortably in the bed, and then like Adan is on the air mattress. He's like, and he's like saying, like, you know, it's not so bad, even though it deflates a little bit, but it's not so bad. And he's just like, they just, you just can see that Shio just has like a hose of milk ready to go. She's like ready just to spring him down with milk to calm down when he wakes up.
So over at Paulina's, Oscar and the kids and the mom come over again, which I guess is a daily occurrence. And it's so cute. They're all so cute on this show. Everyone's like, I love you. And they like jump on each other and kiss each other.
I know. Everyone's so, very likable. It's a very, very likable show. And it was fun. I was actually like laughing out loud through a lot of it.
So they have a funeral for Kimbo, the bird. And Oscar wears a green jumpsuit and brings green everything to say goodbye to Kimbo. And she's like, he wasn't green. And he's like, oh, I should have worn gray. She's like, he wasn't gray. He was brown.
No, he was gray. Then he was like, oh, he's brown. I like the idea that like Paulina on a certain level is disappointed that Oscar didn't quite match the parrot in his ensemble.
Yeah.
Like that's an obligation when going to a parrot funeral. You have to actually dress in the same colors.
Yeah, well, that's so him. He's like, I did this for Kimbo. She's like, oh, idiot.
He probably had like a whole social media moment where he's like, I'm dressed like the parrot. Everyone, I'm going to be parrot chic for parrot's funeral. This is going to be very exciting. And then he gets there and it's like, no, you did the wrong one.
Yeah, because you know he's like secretly really resented that parrot.
Yeah. He was jealous of that parrot. Parrot took up too much of Paulina's attention. I mean, listen, it's the perfect alibi. He's in Morocco and the parrot suddenly dies.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And they're like, in Mexico, death is braced differently. We like to send you off with happiness. So they dance on Kimbo's grave and pour wine all over it. And I'm like, yeah, that's definitely something different. I don't know that I would get away with that at a funeral.
See
you second. Pouring wine and just dancing around on the grave. I mean, I see myself doing that, but not with quite the same jubilance.
Yeah. Nice use of jubilance. Mm.
Thank you. So, my friend does crosswords.
Yeah. So now it's time to prepare for Doris's welcome home party. So they're all getting ready and stuff. And Oscar and Paulina are like, well, Doris is like still complaining about how her mother is constantly critiquing her, which I think is going to be an ongoing thing here. I feel it's kind of funny that Doris is related to Mauricio and Kyle, because you know that like basically Doris is like fits in so well with like the Richard sisters.
Yeah,
you know,
she's totally Kyle in that.
Yeah, just getting shat on nonstop. Fucked with by a dominant mother.
Totally. So Doris is like, ah, my mother is always giving constant unsolicited advice. You know, even people in the street, she'll say, those shoes don't work with that outfit. And people, they say, thank you, and they go, change. I just don't get it. So funny. And then she's working so hard to find something to wear, but Raquel just has a beautiful dress that she slips on and is ready to go. She's like, yeah, God, that's annoying.
Raquel's just like effortlessly stylish. She just comes out looking stunning with all the perfect accessories, like the earrings that match, like the little anything, you know. And like Doris is like, she has like a turtleneck or something like that with like one sleeve falling off her shoulder and like a hobo hat or something. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Just completely like will never live up to her mother.
Kyle.
Kyle.
Yeah. Kyle. She's wearing Kyle clothes. Yeah. Except that I really like Doris. So far,
I like Doris a lot. I like Doris and Raquel the most, actually.
Yeah, and you know, this is also another reason this is kind of a Doris thing is because she's the cousin who kind of hooked this whole thing up, right? So she has the connections. Well, yeah, if she's Mauricio's cousin, I would imagine that she's the one who has the connections that kind of hooked this up on Bravo.
Yeah.
And then she's the one that they're all going to like turn against and fight with later. You know, so Kyle, so many shades of Kyle here.
Yeah, 50 shades of Kyle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So so now, meanwhile, Oscar and Paulina are planning their outfits. They want to make a splash. They make so much noise about making a splash. We even see them at a different party where it's like, we love to make a splash at a party. And they have like crazy masks on and people are like, who's that? Who's that? They're like, it's us. Everyone's like, ah.
Yeah, that's them. Because she's like, we need to stand out like the fashion king and queen are arriving at the party. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I like that Doris is like, you know, with them, it's a little incestuous. And Raquel's like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that.
Don't say
she's
that.
Like, no. It's just that it reminded me of Game of Thrones, you know, like Cersei and Jaime Lannister. That's all. All I'm trying to say is they look like they fuck each other all the time. And if a child is watching them, they're going to push the child away and break their legs. That's all.
So then, Fernando, so we basically get to this shot, this party. And yeah. Everyone's like, in Mexico, we like to have parties. Like,
yeah. This is like Mari and Fernando's whole storyline. We love to party. Partying is great. We love partying. Don't you love partying?
Then Paulina and Oscar come in their fashion splash, and she's basically wearing like a cake from Ralph's on top of her head.
Yeah. Oliver is just like in a fairly standard suit, but he's put basically a boutonniere on his chest.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's like, whoa, I made a splash.
And then we find out Oscar has a huge crush on Alan. He's like, he's so beautiful. I just want to jump.
Have I started calling Oscar Oliver, by the way? At some point, I just noticed in my notes, I started writing down Oliver.
I was getting confused because I'm usually the one who gets names wrong. I think it's Oscar.
I think it is. Somewhere along the way, I just fully moved over to Oliver. I was like, you know what? I'm going to name him Oliver now.
Yeah. He's definitely more of Rocky in that movie where he played Oscar as opposed to Oliver, because Oliver's poor.
Yeah. But Oliver also has company.
True. That's true. But he didn't get it until a sequel.
Oh. But wait, there was a sequel to Oliver and Company?
Oliver and Company is the sequel. Oh,
what?
No, never mind. Sorry. I'm getting my Olivers confused, guys. You put Olivers
and
Martinis.
About like a little mouse in
Damn
New York
it.
City, I think. If I remember correctly. I think Richard Mulligan did a voice on that movie.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, so Oscar. So he's talking to Alana Jenny, and they're like, well, you know, we're coming back and forth because we have a record deal. And Oscar's like, he's too pretty to be in a duet. He should be single, and I would be the first to buy a record. I have wacky clothes.
And I will splooge all over each and every record.
So then they talk. Then everybody starts talking about how Fernando's so gay. Like the husband.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks that Fernando's gay. And Oscar is like, for me, I always thought he was gay. And Paulina's like, everyone does. Have you seen my hat? Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. And then, of course, after everyone's talks about how Fernando's kind of gay, they then cut to him like and he's in an actual turtleneck, like a velvet turtleneck or something like that. And he's like, oh, Paulina, how are you, girlfriend? Hey, like they just show like the gayest shot of him ever.
Yeah, and Alon's like, of course I've heard that my father's gay. I've heard it ever since I'm a kid. But I will say that in the 70s, most people were bi. I know that. Yeah. Like, good answer.
Yeah. So, yeah. So then, and somewhere around here is when Oscar's like, yeah, Fernando, man, he was on my jerk-off list.
Jerk-off list? Like, you don't have a jerk-off book. It's huge like this big.
He's like, I have to be honest. I'm like, you actually don't have to be honest right now, but that's fine.
Yeah. And he's like, and now I love his son because he created this perfection. This speaks a lot to me, right? I'm like, yeah.
So Doris and Raquel arrive, and Mari's like, oh, Raquel, I haven't given you my condolences yet. I'm so sorry. And I like to party, but I'm so sorry. And then Raquel's like, oh, well, you know, it was about 3 weeks too late, but, you know, perhaps she was busy, bitch.
Yeah, I love the glimpses from Raquel that she's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
So then let's see here. Who's Mari?
Mari is.
Duh. So she talks about how she met Fernando, and it's Raquel, Fernando, Mari, and Fernando, I wrote again. I mean, what's wrong? This is like the first time taking notes on a new show.
I did that a few times too. I was like, Fernando was talking to Fernando and telling Fernando to sleep on the inflatable. I was like, wait a second. Is this a one-man play?
So Marty's like, I met Fernando when I was 27. And before that, I'd been around. And Raquel's like, what does that mean? She goes, you know exactly what that means.
And I like to party.
I like to party on the laps of men. And Raquel's like, I was raised very normal and respectful to my husband. And then it cuts to Marie talking about her, and she's like, she has no idea what life is. And then it cuts back to Raquel talking about her, and she's like, I respect her, but don't understand her. I was like, fight.
Yeah. Yeah, Raquel's basically like, she's a slut.
And then Marty's like, she's a bitch.
Yeah. So now it's time for Adán to perform, because the host of the party, who is like a friend, is like, come on, Adán, you have to perform. So Elon's like, okay, I need a shot for this. And I love how like bitter Elon is about his family. He's like, all right, so here's the deal. Basically, anything that seems like it's spontaneous or like, oh, let's just do this. For instance, Adán telling his dad, why don't you sing with me? It's been fully planned and so awkwardly planned that everyone can see like this, their plan unfurling.
Yeah. You know?
And then you see Adán like coming and be like, Dad, why don't you come and sing with me? He's like, who, me? Oh, well, I guess I can join you up on stage.
He's like, we have written this song together, Adán. And they start singing this song and like really selling it. And Alon's like, they wrote a song together. That is literally planning it.
Yeah.
And then while they're singing, Alon just tells Jenny, flat.
Yeah. At one point he's like, well, Alon goes, well, you know, everybody's liking the song. And she's like, everybody's drunk. She doesn't even sound like that. I mean, it sounds so evil. Everybody's. She's like, everyone's drunk.
Yeah. She kind of hates this kid, which is so.
She hates this family. She clearly hates Adán because she knows, like, what shit that her husband has to deal with. And I really hope that they get into a fight.
Yeah. Oh, they will.
Yeah.
So then Raquel, everyone's like hooting and hollering after the song. And Raquel's like, sorry, but I must give a speech. It's like, now that we are all reveling in joy, let me give a speech. So yeah. She talks about her husband passing, and everyone's like family to her. And they make her remember that life is still worth living. And then Maddie comes up to her, yeah. And she goes, live every day as if it was your last day. And I was like, God, that woman's creepy.
Yeah. And what I mean by that is, come on, a party. We love to party. We like to party. We like to party.
And that's pretty much the end.
Yeah. So before we wrap up, how do you feel about going over to the Crappin's mailbag?
Let's do our band.
So the Crappin's mailbag is where people can write in questions and we read them on the air, in the air, as Flo Rida would say. Kate A says, oh, and by the way, you do it at Patreon. So go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Kate A says, hey, boys, what do you think Yolanda Hadid Foster Hadid is up to these days? How do you think she feels about Lisa Rinna's attempt to turn her daughters into Gigi, my love, and the other one? Will she crash David Foster's upcoming wedding? Cheers.
Oh, my gosh. What is Yolanda up to? I know that she's making a lot of doctor's appointments for her kids. And mm-hmm. I don't mean just their, you know, multiple diseases that they seem to keep coming up with, but their faces. Have you seen those kids' faces? Jesus Christ.
I have. Yeah, I can actually, the last time I checked in on Yolanda, she had posted something. I think, so you know The Weeknd, you know, the singer The Weeknd? The Weeknd? Weeknd. So I guess he and Bella are dating again. I feel like at one point they stopped dating. Who knows? I'm sorry, I don't subscribe to the other one weekly. But so I think it was his birthday recently. So Gim? Yolanda was what?
Kim? They're in the they're on the Gim? Magazine cover.
Who?
Called Kim. Sorry.
So that was funny. That was a good callback. So Yolanda posted a photo of The Weeknd on her Instagram and was like, oh, my love, congratulations to you to birthday, my handsome one, or you've done such wonderful things. I'm so proud of you, my love, my love, my love, you know, something like that. And I was like, this woman is so bonkers crazy, like getting all up into her daughter's business with her boyfriend. She just wants to show the world that her daughter is dating a famous musician, right? Like, and she's done it before multiple times. And when Gigi was dating, I think Zayn, she was like, oh, Zayn, my love, my dear, my Zayn. I was like, I don't know. I just think it's like, it's so ridiculous. Well, thankfully my mom is not on Instagram, but if she were on Instagram, she would not be posting photos of my boyfriend and being like, my love, my love. My mom would never do that. You know, it's just like, she's so up in her kids' business. Ugh,
yeah,
she's crazy.
That's Yolanda. Yolanda really triggered me. I mean, she made me so crazy and so angry, and I was foaming at the mouth during that time. And honestly, I'm just so glad she's gone. I'm just like thankful every day. I don't care what she's up to. I don't follow her. I know that she still has a lot of bikini pics, but otherwise, yeah. I don't really care. Bye. Good riddance.
I mean, she triggered me too towards the end there, but I wasn't ready for her to go, to be honest. I think she added a fun. I liked what she brought to the show. Well, except for her when she was like lying in bed, like the limes. But
I think you're the first person who's ever described Yolanda Foster's run on Beverly Hills as fun.
Not fun, but I liked her like aloof hoof. she had like an aloof hoof quality to her. I don't know. I thought she's so ridiculous that I thought she was entertaining even when she was being awful. But one thing is that I feel like she did not get enough hatred from the audience for being basically the supreme manipulator that we discovered that she is. You know, I feel like though the audience at large, beyond just like our peeps, never truly saw her as the mastermind that she was, like Lisa Vanderpump's true arch rival.
Yes, and she really was that. But you know, yeah. She left her little seedling there, Erica Jane.
That's true.
What else is in that mailbag?
Well, R. Simone says, hi, Ben and Ronnie. If you could do trades of housewives between Real Housewives cities, what would your trades look like and why? For example, I'd love to see Dorinda in Atlanta with that cast, or Candy in Orange County with those ladies. I'm into baseball, so I've thought about this a bit.
Oh my god, trades. I would love to see Luann on Beverly Hills.
I would love to see Luann on Atlanta, and she'd make a fool of herself.
Yeah, she'd make a damn fool of herself.
She'd make a big old fool of herself there. Be amazing. Be an amazing fool of herself.
I would like to see Tamra on... God, I'm trying to think of a classier Housewives where she would just be called out on the trash that she is. But I can't think of what that is either. I guess it would be Beverly Hills too. So damn, I don't want to do everything Beverly Hills, but can you tell how much Beverly Hills needs some new blood? Oh my God. Like, just put anybody else on Beverly Hills. Save them.
I know. I'm trying to think of like, I Kelly Dodd in New York would be pretty funny. I think she could mix it up with the craziness of like Dorinda and Ramona. I think Kelly Dodd would work. I think that would be a good trade.
Yeah, that would be really good. Let's see. What are they? I only remember really the housewives that are currently on. So let me think.
Yeah. There's I'm trying to think of like various like people County, from Potomac. Hills,
Potomac. Like
Karen Huger in like Dallas, maybe. Or.
Oh my God. Karen Huger would do great in Dallas. Yeah.
I know. Her and Leanne Locken screwing off would be pretty amazing.
Yeah. That would be pretty hilarious.
Security.
Oh. Oh my God. She wouldn't even know what to do with her damn self around Leanne. Jeez.
No, necessary. All right. Well, that's it for Mailbag this week. Ronnie, I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
You too, you little hunlet. We will be back Monday with a recap of Top Chef.
Yes, very exciting. Go to watchcrappins.com to get your tickets and your fancy Luann stuff, and those t-shirts and leggings. And we'll see you all on Monday.
Bye.
Bye.